Tonight's first presidential debate is of crucial importance to Democrat John Kerry. The challenger has been running behind in the public opinion poll since the Republican convention. This is his best opportunity to reintroduce himself to the American people and convince voters that his vision for the next 4 years is one they want to embrace. We ask NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts to take a look back at the debates of successful presidential challengers. Cokie, first, is there some sort of formula for these debates traditionally?
Yeah, I think that the formula basically is the challenger has to say it is time for a change, one of the oldest slogans in the political book, and then secondly, convince the voters that he's the man to make the change. That's a much harder task than the first, convincing people to go with him.
In 1976, Jimmy Carter defeated President Gerald Ford by just 2% of the vote. Gerald Ford, of course, was the president, Jimmy Carter the challenger. Do you think the debates were a key factor?
Well, when you have a race that close, everything's a key factor. But clearly, when Gerald Ford made his famous gaffe about saying that Eastern Europe was not under Soviet dominion, it didn't help him. But Carter also had to convince people to come along with him on domestic policy, which is what most voters were caring about at that time. And he was really able to strike a chord with the American people in the wake of Watergate.
I owe everything to you, the people of this country. And I believe that we can bind our wounds. I believe that we can work together. And I believe that if we can tap the tremendous, untapped reservoir of innate strength in this country, that we can once again have a government as good as our people.
And then in 1980, Carter in turn faced a formidable challenger. There are some memorable moments from the Reagan-Carter debate, but the evening started with the central issue of war and peace.
The Carter forces had raised serious questions about Ronald Reagan being a warmonger. So he had to answer those questions, and he had to do it in a way where he sort of brought up subtly the Iranian hostage crisis without actually addressing it.
America has never gotten in a war because we were too strong. We can get into a war by letting events get out of hand as they have in the last 3.5 years under the foreign policies of this administration of Mr. Carter's until we're faced each time with a crisis. And good management in preserving the peace requires that we control the events and try to intercept before they become a crisis.
Ronald Reagan's closing comments from the debate have been quoted ever since. His famous, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?"
And then he followed that up by talking about how serious unemployment was. And then he did the crucial thing of saying he was the guy to fix it.
All of this can be cured and all of it can be solved. I have not had the experience that the president has had in holding that office. But I think in being governor of California, the most populous state in the Union, I too had some lonely moments and decisions to make. I know that the economic program that I have proposed for this nation in the next few years can resolve many of the problems that trouble us today.
I think, Renee, that that debate was probably the most important debate in American presidential history, with the possible exception of the 1960 debate between John Kennedy and Richard Nixon. I reported the day after that debate, I found voters in droves saying that they had been somewhat skeptical about Ronald Reagan, somewhat fearful of him, and not after that debate, not after standing up there with the President of the United States for 90 minutes and being the kind of guy he was. It turned a close election into a landslide.
Cokie, another incumbent president lost in 1992, and the debates in that election were unusual because there were three contestants.
And that was a big help to challenger Bill Clinton in the end, because he had Ross Perot there entertaining all of us and also saying that it was time for a change. Here's one of the wonderful Perot moments where he's saying that people can't get good jobs today.
And what's happened in the meantime? The dollar's gone through the floor. Now, whose fault is that? Not the Democrats, not the Republicans. Somewhere out there, there's an extraterrestrial that's doing this to us, I guess. And everybody says they take responsibility. Somebody somewhere has to take responsibility for this.
Perot, of course, got in the race, out of the race, was not taken seriously himself, but helped raise the stakes against George Bush.
Now, that was also the first year of the town meeting format for debates,
which we will have again this year, and that does often provide some insights. Of course, George Bush looked at his watch during the town meeting, and that was used against him as saying he was disengaged. But it also provides some moments of feistiness. You know, the president also has to say the challenger is the wrong person for the job, as well as the challenger saying he's the right person. George Bush was attacking Bill Clinton's character.
But the big argument I have with the governor on this is this taking different positions on different issues, trying to be one thing to one person here that's opposing the NAFTA agreement, and then for it, what we call waffling. You can't turn the White House into the Waffle House. You got to say what you're for.
And here was a Clinton response to that.
The Washington Post ran a long editorial today saying they couldn't believe Mr. Bush was making character an issue, and they said he was the greatest, quote, political chameleon for changing his positions of all time. Now, I don't want to get into that.
Wait a minute. Washington Post.
You don't have to believe that. I'm not interested in his character. I want to change the character of the presidency. And I'm
so, Cokie, do you think there's going to be some moment tonight that we'll all look back on and say that determined the election?
Well, there certainly always can be. I think these are very disciplined candidates, that it's highly unlikely. However, the thing to keep in mind, Renee, is that the whole affect of a debate has at least as much importance as the words themselves. People get a sense of how the man stands and smiles and relates to the other man and all of those things. There have been some studies that show that the same person wins with the sound off as with the sound on.
Thank you very much, Cokie.
You bet, Renee.
NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts.
And you can hear tonight's 90-minute presidential debate live on many NPR stations beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Tomorrow morning edition will have complete coverage of the debate, including an analysis of what the candidates say and what they don't say. In the meantime, there is more information on the presidential campaign, including political columns by senior NPR reporters and editors at npr.org.